Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the season premiere of the NFL show / NFL wrap-up show on this 8th of September 2013 as we discuss week one in the league when no contracting is guaranteed and a classic brewing in San Francisco. The 49ers have just gone ahead 31-28, a touchdown run by Frank Gore, who for the most part has been held in check. Green Bay has fought back from deficits all game long. Let's see if they can answer here. We'll do a little bit of play-by-play here as Green Bay again starts at seeming like his own five-yard line. It seems like Green Bay has had bad field position all game long over the course of this game, and they're starting way back seemingly at the 10-yard line, second and 10, 5:41 left in the fourth quarter. San Francisco has just gone ahead 31-28. Green Bay held a lead for about 3 or 4 minutes until Colin Kaepernick drove San Francisco down the field. Kaepernick is almost has 400 yards passing. Has had a huge day, 375 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Aaron Rodgers played well. Also, he is on the cusp of having a 300 yard passing day. Now he's running for his life and needs to get down. Green Bay will have about third and five. Green Bay will have about third and five deep in their own territory. At worst, Green Bay needs to get a first down so that they can get their punter, can turn field position. But you think the way this game has been going that whoever ends up with the ball last is going to win. Big third and four for Green Bay. Let's see what they do. Rodgers almost got sacked here. That's what incomplete pass on the as he tried to get it to Jordy Nelson. Green Bay assuredly will have to punt now. Three and out for Green Bay. Good defensive stand for San Francisco as they will get the ball back and with all the momentum in the world. Green Bay's defensive secondary has had no answer for Kaepernick, Anquan Boldin, or Vernon Davis. All three of those guys have had big days. Though Green Bay has controlled the San Francisco running game for the most part. It has actually done a good job on the read option. Remember, Kaepernick burned them last this past January for 181 yards rushing. They held him in check as far as his running goes, but he has picked them apart with the pass. And right now, San Francisco will have pretty good, decent field position, pretty good punt by Green Bay. San Francisco had the ball at around the 35-36-yard line with a chance to try to run some clock and try to go to 1-0 on the season. In the final year, of course, at Candlestick Park, of course, San Francisco will move into their new facility come next year. We're going to go through some scores now as we watch this particular game. Also, Serena, for some tennis news here for my U.S. Open fans, Serena Williams is on the cusp of a fifth U.S. Open. She almost choked it away, was up four, lost a 4-1 lead in the second set. Azarenka won second set 7-6, but Serena right now in total control, up 5-1 on serve, about to wrap up her fifth U.S. Open, which would be Grand Slam, I believe Grand Slam number 17 in her historic and illustrious career. Right now, San Francisco has the ball, 4 minutes and 28 seconds left. Green Bay needs to show the timeout situation. Green Bay trying to get a big road win as they try to return a favor to what San Francisco did to them last year. You remember San Francisco walked into Green Bay and just manhandled the Packers in Lambeau Field last season. San Francisco, Green Bay trying to return the favor as a key third down coming up for San Francisco for Green Bay to hold. St. Louis has defeated Arizona 27-24, very exciting game in the NFC West. So right now, Green Bay, a key third and four for San Francisco, for Green Bay's defense to hold. So you can get, and they will have plenty of time. If they were to stop San Francisco right now, they'll have plenty of time for Aaron Rodgers and company to get downfield. All they need is a field goal for a tie. We'll see what they do here. We'll see what they do here at San Francisco. That's 3rd and 4 at their own 40-yard line. Big play. Good play call. Excellent play call to Vernon Davis, and he picks up a bunch of yards. That was a great play call. That was a tremendous play call. Had Vernon Davis basically come out the, you know, short pass, and now he should have stayed in bounds, but regardless, they're going to be able to run some time as they pick up a big first down in order to chew some clock. Again, all you're doing, if you're San Francisco, all you want to accomplish is you want to just chew some clock. It's not even about scoring. If you chew clock up, you should be in good shape. Serena Williams is on the cusp, is 1 point away from her fifth U.S. Open championship point, number 2, in the third set, up 40-35. She just took complete control of the third set, so keeping you an update on that one. San Francisco now, you would think, would run the ball, and they will on a first down play. We're going to go through some scores now. New Orleans takes out Atlanta, 23-17, great game. Drew Brees goes 26 for 35, 357 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Matt Ryan also had 300 yards passing with 2 touchdowns and an interception. The big story in this game has to be the New Orleans defense. Remember, last year's New Orleans defense was historically bad. Matter of fact, they give up more yards than any defense in the history of the NFL. As Serena Williams has won her fifth U.S. Open, 7-5, 6-7, 6-1. New Orleans holds Atlanta to 17 points. Great game. These are two of the best teams in the NFC. Definitely the class of the NFC South. So they're going to be battling all season long for NFC South supremacy. Atlanta had an early 10-0 lead, but again, in New Orleans, that's nothing, especially with Drew Brees at quarterback. Again, big day for Drew Brees, and even a bigger day for the New Orleans defense, which holds Atlanta to 17 points. We all know how many weapons Atlanta has at their disposal. Nice day out, Steven Jackson, in his debut as Atlanta Falcon. Julio Jones had a touchdown catch as well for the Falcons. Seattle in an ugly game over Carolina, 12-7. I told you with my NFL picks that this was going to be a close game and that Seattle would definitely cover the spread, and as they did. Carolina, Seattle, the story of this game is the Seattle defense. Seattle defense holds Carolina scoreless in the second half, just 243 yards of total offense. They held Cam Newton in check. This is despite the fact that Marshawn Lynch, the beast, only had 43 yards on 17 carries. Russell Wilson, 320 yards passing, a touchdown, 25 of 33. Again, the story is the Seattle defense, which certainly, along with San Francisco, is one of the best defenses in all of football. 3rd and 5 for San Francisco as they get – now, they're going to be a very interesting spot here because it was 3rd and 5. They look like they came up 1 yard short. So 4th and 1, 3-point lead. Green Bay uses his final timeout. I don't know why Green Bay – let me see how much time is left. Because I don't know why Green Bay used his final timeout. You're only down by three points. So even if you punt and give you – like, I don't get why Green Bay used his final timeout. I guess – I mean, you're on the other side of a two-minute warning. Let me see where they're at. Three minutes left in the game. Why would you use a timeout? That makes no sense to me. That makes it 4th and 2. Harbaugh, what is Harbaugh going to do? He's going to go for it? Or are you going to try to draw him offside? I wonder what they're going to do here. I would not go for it. Man, this is a risky call. Looks like he's going to try to draw him offside. He's going to try to draw him offside. They're going to punt the ball. They're not going to go for it. They're going to try to draw him offside and not able to do it. Good job by Green Bay defense, staying disciplined. The way Green Bay's offense has been playing in the second half, you can't give them that kind of field position. At worst, what you did force them to do is use their last time out. But Green Bay will have plenty of time left, no matter what the field position is. That you can figure they'll probably be inside their own 20-15 yard line. So they'll have plenty of time. And all they have to do is get a field goal. Now we know how shaky Mason Crosby was last season. But good job by Green Bay holding them. San Francisco did a bad job on that drive. They got the ball back with about 5 minutes left, and they only chewed up 2 minutes of time, 2 minutes of clock. So, not a good job. They did get one first down. Now, it looks like, are they going to go for it? Boy, I'm telling you, I would not go. Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is trusting your defense, of course, but still, I mean, you're talking about, listen, this is not, you're not going up against John Skelton here at quarterback for Green Bay. They're going to go for it. They're going to go for it. You have a running, first down. Well, that was a good, hey, give Harbaugh credit, because now that they get the first down, now Green Bay has no timeouts left. That probably will do it, to be honest with you, as a little mini skirmish breaks out. These two teams don't like each other whatsoever. But that's of course, Anquan Boldin. Boldin has just been just an animal in this particular game. Gutsy call by Harbaugh. That was a gutsy call. Oh, my goodness. I would have had no problem with him punting the ball. Little pick play, perfect pass right there. And that should wrap it up. Now, all San Francisco has to do now is just run the ball. They can basically almost run the clock out. They'll run one play before the two-minute warning, and Green Bay has no timeouts. This is why fourth quarter, second half timeouts are like gold in the NFL. Most of these games are close. Green Bay has no timeouts left, none. I mean, you cannot burn timeouts in the second half of these games. First half, you want to burn timeouts, that's one thing. Second half, you got to have at least two timeouts going into the final quarter, in the fourth quarter, at least two. You can't burn these timeouts. They kill you all. They're going to kill you, burn these second-half timeouts. So it looks like San Francisco is going to hold on to win that game. Great game to kick off the season. As San Francisco tries to get back to the Super Bowl and finish the job, Green Bay trying to show that they can play with San Francisco. And Green Bay, regardless of what happens, did an excellent showing for themselves on the road against a big-time team. Really played well in this game, played extremely well, but it looks like they will fall 2-0-1 on the season. Tampa Bay falls to the New York Jets 18-17 in an ugly game, to say the least. Geno Smith, rookie quarterback, gets his first win of his career, 24-38, 256, a touchdown and a pick. Tampa Bay looked like they had this game in hand until a late hit on Lavonte David that put off a Geno Smith scramble that put the Jets in field goal range. Nick Folk makes a 48-yard field goal to give Tampa Bay the win. To give the Jets the win. Big day out of Vince Jackson, seven catches, 154 yards, and really an ugly game, to be honest with you. Just neither one of these teams are playoff caliber teams in my eyes. So, but the Jets do get the win and improve to 1-0 on the season. Minnesota falls to Detroit 34-24. Huge day out of Adrian Peterson. 18 carries, 93 yards, two touchdowns. He also had four receptions for 18 yards and a touchdown, but there was certainly nowhere near enough as Detroit got big days out of Matthew Stafford and also Reggie Bush in his debut as a Lion. Matthew Stafford goes 28-43, 357, two touchdowns and an interception. Reggie Bush, 21 carries, 90 yards rushing, 90 yards rushing, had four catches, 101 yards and a touchdown, including a 77-yard touchdown reception for Reggie Bush, who, again, is going to be a tremendous pickup for Detroit. So Detroit gets the win, 34-24. Minnesota's new uniforms are hideous. I mean, they are. Put them away forever. Those are some of the ugliest uniforms that you'll ever see. The purple pants with the white shirt. Oh my goodness! But regardless of that, they fall to the Detroit Lions. Kaepernick has gone over 400 yards, 412 yards passing. And who'd have thought that Tim Rattay would be the last 49 quarterback to throw forward for 400 yards? You expect to see a name like Steve Young, Joe Montana, or even Jeff Garcia, but Tim Rattay, last 49 quarterback to throw for over 400 yards, but certainly Tim Rattay is not Colin Kaepernick. A huge day for Kaepernick, and just an impressive performance when he had to make throws. He made every throw that you could possibly make as Green Bay still has some life. They just stopped in San Francisco on a 3rd and 6 4-4, so you think San Francisco probably would. I don't know. Do you run out? You could run out of play here. I mean, you actually could run a play and probably come close to run the clock out. They're going to kick the field goal, though, and force Green Bay to score a touchdown. But, again, this is why, you know, those timeouts killed Green Bay, not having those timeouts to stop the clock. They burnt the timeout at the three-minute warning, which at three-minute mark made no sense. Just some poor clock management on the part of Green Bay as the field goes up, and it's good by Phil Dawson, the new kicker, new San Francisco kicker. San Francisco goes up 34-28 with just 26 seconds left. Great game. This was a tremendous game. Tremendous effort by Green Bay. Clay Matthews was all over the place in this game. You saw Colin Kaepernick over 40 yards passing. Certainly he's going to be a league MVP candidate. San Francisco does all this 34 points without Crabtree and Mario Manningham, particularly Crabtree, who was on the cusp of being a budding star in this league. They'll probably get him back sometime in November. So their offense, their offense really is going to be clicking once they get back. Once they get him back. If you're Green Bay, you know, listen, on the road at San Francisco, you know, it's a tough place to win. Gets a team that argues as one of the favorites to win a Super Bowl in the not only in the NFC, but in the entire NFL. So if you're Green Bay, you chalk this one up as a tough road loss. I thought Green Bay did play well in this game. For the most part, has some secondary breakdowns. Certainly that will be helped once they get back their safety, Morgan Burnett, who had an injury. I don't know how long he's going to be out, but they missed him in the worst way in this particular game. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this season premiere of the NFL Wrap-Up Show. Of course, we're going to be doing this for the next 3 or 4 weeks. The regular NFL show will debut in about a month or so on a Monday or Tuesday. We're going to do the Breaking Bad Boardwalk Empire podcast during the week. When Breaking Bad ends, we'll go back to the regular, this NFL show will go back to its regular schedule. But we're going to do this for the next few weeks and have some fun with it. Tennessee over Pittsburgh, 16-9. Again, this is another game that I had right as far as the point spread. Pittsburgh was a 7-point favorite. There was no way that I thought they were going to cover those points. And not only did they not cover, Tennessee goes out there and wins the game at Pittsburgh. First time at Pittsburgh in a long time that Pittsburgh has lost a home opener. Still 26 seconds left in the Green Bay game. Green Bay has the ball their own 20. You have Aaron Rodgers, so anything is possible. Jordy Nelson is a deep threat. We'll see what happens here. Rodgers. Oh, whoa. How did you leave? Oh, my goodness. So 16 seconds left, and Randall Cobb was wide open for about a 30-yard pass play, about a 35-yard pass play, 16 seconds left. Rodgers probably should spike it, yeah. They'll get one play in the end zone. So this is all of a sudden now a little bit nervous if you're a San Francisco fan. How did he was wide open. I mean, wide open. He tried to get out of bounds. No way he was going to get out of bounds, though. But that was, and again, if you had, I'll keep saying it. If you had one timeout left, you would have at least 16 seconds left. You had one timeout, just one, not two, just one timeout left, you would have some more time on the clock. Now you'll Hail Mary to the end zone, see what happens. It would be turnabout with the football gods. If they were football gods, Green Bay would win this game based on what happened in Seattle last year. Aaron Rodgers might not even get a pass off. He will not get a pass off. He barely got a pass off. That's going to be the game as the San Francisco pass rush got to Rodgers in the last play of the game. That's going to be it. San Francisco wins 34-28. Great game to open the season for both these teams. Both these teams certainly will be heard from over the course of the NFL season. Kaepernick, huge day for him as he goes. We'll look at his line in a second here. Kaepernick goes 27-39, 412 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Aaron Rodgers, 21-36, 333 yards passing, three touchdowns, and 1 interception. That was not his fault, by the way. The 1 interception was off a tip that Jermichael Finley absolutely should have caught, hitting right in the hands, and without question should have caught. But that was the 1 interception. But, again, that was not Aaron Rodgers' fault. San Francisco dominated time of possession in this game. They had the ball 38 minutes. This is why I thought, listen, the Green Bay defense to me played, again, the secondary had some issues. And you'll look at the stats and you'll say the Green Bay defense was awful, but look at the rushing yards. Green Bay, despite the fact that Green Bay held San Francisco to 90 yards rushing on 34 carries. Gore was held 21 for 44. Kaepernick 7 for 22. Kendall Hunter 6 for 24. They did a tremendous job at controlling the San Francisco running game. Their defense on the field almost 40 minutes. So, for the most part, I thought the Green Bay defense played well. Total yards, San Francisco racked up almost 500 yards of total offense. Green Bay almost 40 yards of total offense. Great game. Tremendous first game to kick off the season. Tennessee over Pittsburgh 16-9, an ugly game to say the least. If you are a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you have to be a little bit nervous because you allow a Tennessee team that is not any good. I mean, Tennessee is not any good. They are not any good. You allow them to come into your stadium and take you out. Chris Johnson, you know, pedestrian day, 25 carries for 70 yards. Jake Locker, I mean, didn't do anything spectacular. He had, look at his line. Jake Locker was 11 for 20, 125 yards. You allow an opposing quarterback to come into your stadium, throw for 125 yards, no touchdowns, and they beat you. I mean, it's just an embarrassing loss. Really an embarrassing loss for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was held to 195 yards of total offense. 109 by Tennessee. Tennessee is not a big-time defensive team. Not by a long shot. And they hold, I mean, that is unbelievable. It's unbelievable for them for Pittsburgh to put up that pathetic of a performance offensively. Ben Roethlisberger, 21-33, 191, a touchdown and a pick. Pittsburgh has no running game. 15 carries, 32 yards total. That was their running game. Just it could be a very, very long season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. New England over Buffalo, 23-21. This was a game that went right down to the wire. I was, you know, they were showing a lot of highlights on this particular game. New England, if you're a New England fan, you should be very nervous as well. New England was not impressive at all in this game. Again, I know it's on the road in division, and you will always take those divisional road wins, and they are extremely valuable. But I'm thinking big picture. We already know New England's going to win this division, but when you talk about New England amongst the elite teams in the league, even in the AFC, I mean, maybe it was just a first game jitters, but they did not look good at all in this game. Now, Brady did play. I mean, Brady was okay, 29 of 52, 288 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. Danny Amendola, who left the game with an injury but came back, had 10 catches for 104 yards. The story of this game was New England running attack, 35 carries, 158 yards. Stephen Ridley gets benched in the first and second quarter after a fumble that was recovered by Denora Searcy for a 75-yard touchdown. He didn't see any action from that point on. That's message sent. I mean, this is a guy who, as a rookie, had over 1,100 yards rushing, had about at least 10 or 12 touchdowns. Had a very good year. One fumble, hit the bench. EJ Manuel had a pretty good game in his debut, 18-27, 150, two touchdowns passing. But again, two touchdowns passing. But again, a very, very lackluster performance, to say the least, from the New England Patriots. This is not the father's Patriots by any stretch of the imagination. Cincinnati falls to Chicago 24-21. Cincinnati looked like they were in control of this game midway through the third quarter. They were up 21-10. But a couple of turnovers got them in trouble. Chicago's defense does what it always does. That forces turnovers. They forced three Cincinnati turnovers, including two Andy Dalton touchdowns, two Andy Dalton interceptions. Big number for Chicago in this game is the number zero. And that number is how many times Jay Cutler got sacked. Now, keep in mind, this Cincinnati defense is one of the best defenses in the league. And last year had about 50 sacks last year. So as we know how much Chicago's defense, offensive line, struggle seemingly forever. So that is very encouraging if you're a Chicago Bear fan that Cutler did not get sacked one time. AJ Green had a huge day in this game for Cincinnati, 9 catches for 162 yards. Also, Brandon Marshall had also 104 yards receiving as well. Jay Cutler, 21-33, 242, 2 touchdowns and an interception. But again, the big story in this game was no sacks for the Cincinnati defense. And no sacks for the Cincinnati defense, and 3 forced turnovers for the Chicago defense. When we return, we'll talk Miami, Cleveland, and a big day for Terrell Pryor. We'll talk about that on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Indianapolis over Oakland, 21-17. Oakland outgained Indianapolis in this particular game, 372. Outgained Indianapolis in this particular game, despite the loss. Terrell Pryor, to me, was the story of this game as Oakland again outgained Indianapolis, 372 to 274. Again, the difference in this game, of course. And in a lot of these games, especially in these close games, turnovers, 2 Oakland turnovers, including a Dwayne Bethea interception against Terrell Pryor, as it seemed like Oakland was going in for a possible game-winning touchdown pass, sealed the deal for Indianapolis. Pryor, 19 for 29, 217, a touchdown, 2 picks. But did have 13 carries for 112 yards rushing. Andrew Luck, very efficient, 18-23, 178, 2 touchdowns. Oakland's going to have a long year, but maybe just, you know, Pryor showed you something. He showed you something, you know. McFadden played well. McFadden had a decent game as well, but Pryor did show you something here, showed you some flashes. Though, you know, again, he's still very much a unpolished passer. You could tell during the game it was one read and then basically I'm scrambling. And, teams would catch up with that quick considering this new generation of read option quarterbacks. Teams would be able to make quick adjustments to that. But at least, you know, good. You might have something with Pryor. You don't know. He's still a very young player in this league and get some weapons around him. Who knows? Regardless, Oakland did play well on the road. They were 10-point underdogs in this. They were 10-point underdogs in this game, so they covered the spread and were down 14-0, but kept fighting and really, really pushed the Colts to the limit. But the Colts come up with a 21-17 victory. Miami over Cleveland, 23-10. Ryan Tannehill goes 24 of 38. 272 yards, 1 touchdown, and a pick. Brian Hartline, 9 catches, 114 yards, and a pick, and a touchdown. Brandon Weeden, 26 of 52, 289, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. Long day for him. They really were not able to get Trent Richardson going. Only 13 carries for 47 yards. Cleveland is just It seems like there's no hope for Cleveland. And I thought Cleveland's defense, played pretty good. Was okay. I thought Cleveland's defense was okay over the course of the game. But offensively, you gotta have a quarterback in this league. I didn't understand them taking Brandon Wheaton with that pick. I didn't get that at all. They seem like they're fully invested in him. But the guy, listen, he just doesn't have it. I know it's only his second year, but you could tell early on, Russell Wilson, Kaepernick, RG3, Andrew Luck, you could tell pretty early on whether a quarterback has it or not, and he just doesn't seem like they have it. And when you miss on a draft pick of your quarterback, it's going to be a long year for your franchise missing on a quarterback. Kansas City dominates Jacksonville 28-2. Andy Reid, in his debut as the Kansas City Chiefs head coach, gets his first win. Alex Smith, 21-34, 173 yards, 2 touchdowns, 16 carries, 77 yards for Jamal Charles, 16 carries, 77 yards, and a touchdown for him. So Kansas City, 28-2 over Jacksonville. Jacksonville already probably thinking about Jadeveon Clowney. That is the kind of year it's going to be for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Just offensively inept. You have Maurice Jones-Drew, but Blaine Gabbert, and you talk about another guy who in terms of wasting a first-round pick and investing a lot into. Blaine Gabbert, 16-35, 121 yards, 2 picks. Chad Henne did get into the game, but didn't fare much better. At least he didn't throw a pick. He had 3 of 6, 36 yards, no interceptions, no touchdowns. Kansas City, again, as a team, at 120 yards rushing. Jacksonville is just, there are some teams in the NFL, 178 total yards for Jacksonville. Now, Kansas City does have a very good defense, a lot of talent on that defense. But Jacksonville is one of those offensively inept teams that just, it's going to struggle to cross midfield at times. You don't have a quarterback. Maurice Jones-Drew was your only legit offensive weapon. That's a decent receiver. Cecil Shorts is pretty good. Of course, Justin Blackmon is suspended for the first couple of games. But Maurice Jones-Drew had a quiet game, 15 carries for 45 yards. Really not a major factor in this particular game. So it really, an exciting first Sunday of football. You had a number. I'm looking at these scores here. A number of close games that went down to the wire. At one point, there were 10 games going on, and 8 of them were one score games. You get a classic with San Francisco and Green Bay. New England looks like they just don't look right. Almost, and Buffalo. Listen, Buffalo played. Think about this with that New England Buffalo game. Buffalo played a sloppy football game. Buffalo should have, Buffalo had at least 3 turnovers. Yeah, Buffalo had three turnovers in the game. Buffalo had 2 turnovers in the game. They had drop passes, penalties. Buffalo played. Buffalo had 10 penalties for 75 yards. Played a sloppy football game. And still went toe-to-toe with New England. Again, this is not the New England team that we've been accustomed to seeing. So it could be a long year for the New England Patriots. I think New England's a 9-9 win team. Maybe if everything breaks right, they can get 10 wins. But even in that division, a couple of teams in that division is going to pick them off if they continue to perform at that level. Pittsburgh, again, a just disgusting performance for the Steelers to only score 9 points against the Tennessee Titans on your home field opening day. That is a ugly performance. for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And again, you have to be concerned if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan about, you know, where, first of all, where are you going to get points from? Now, again, defensively, you held Tennessee, you did hold Tennessee at 16 points. But offensively, I mean, boy, where, how, I mean, you know, they really didn't replace Mike Wallace. They have no running game whatsoever. When I mean they have no running game, I mean, look at the Pittsburgh, look at the Pittsburgh running backs. And you tell me which one of these three running backs scares you if you're a Pittsburgh fan. Laron Stevens Howland, Isaac Redman, and Isaac Redman. I mean, those guys combined for 14 carries for basically 30 yards, 28 yards. They have a suspect offensive line, an aging defense. I mean, you talk about going from a perennial Super Bowl contending team to now a team that, again, is going to be struggling to be 500. Very impressed with the Atlanta, with the New Orleans Saints and their defense. Last year, the Saints lost games where they scored 30. So to win a game where they only scored 23, it goes on, you know, it shows you a lot in terms of how far their defense has come. Of course, they have Rob Ryan. They have Rob Ryan here taking over as defensive coordinator. You know they're going to score points. You know the Saints are going to score points, but to me, again, to hold Atlanta to 17 points, and Atlanta has a bunch of weapons. We know with the receivers, the Hall of Fame tight end, Steven Jackson, Jarquez Rogers. So, I mean, you're facing one of the best offensive teams in football. You're doing a wonderful job at holding them in check and getting the win, and getting the win as Roman Harper was able to get an interception off the tip. Last play of the game. For the Atlanta Falcons. Again, those two teams are clearly the class of that division. They're going to be battling out throughout the course of the season. Of course, you still have three games left this week. Tonight, coming up in about 20 minutes or so, 30 minutes or so, you'll have the Sunday night game, Dallas hosting New York Giants. I like Dallas in a very, very close game. Should be an exciting game. These two teams tend to play games that go right down to the wire. Remember, Dallas has a four-game losing streak against the Giants at home. So the Dallas trying to snap that particular streak. Tomorrow you have a doubleheader, Washington hosting Philadelphia. And then the finale of week one, you'll have Houston traveling to San Diego to take on the Chargers. We'll see if the Chargers can bounce back after 3 years or after missing the playoffs for the last 3 years. Yes, we've been in the playoffs for the last 3 years. We'll see if they can bounce back and get there this year with a new coaching staff, a new general manager. So pretty good doubleheader tomorrow. Chip Kelly making his debut as coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll see if that offense can trick some people. The reason why they're going to have a hard time against the Redskins is the Redskins practice against that like every day with RG3. Right, so they read that, you know, the fast pace, you know, the running quarterback. I mean, the fast tempo, it's very dangerous to run that kind of offense in the NFL because everything in the NFL is fast. Everything. The NFL does everything at an accelerated speed. So it's hard to run that kind of offense thinking that you're gonna it's one thing to fool people in the NFL. It's one thing to out-scheme people, but it's another thing to outpace defenses in the NFL. It's very hard to do. Very hard to do, especially coming from college. So it'll be very interesting to watch that Chip Kelly navigate that offense. Now they have weapons. You have LeSean McCoy. Vic still has something left in the tank. DeSean Jackson. I mean, now the Macklin loss obviously was a big loss because he probably was their most consistent receiver. Still have Brett Celek, Riley Cooper. So we'll see. You know, we'll see with that. We'll see if he utilizes LeSean McCoy the way that he utilizes LeSean McCoy and how he utilizes LeSean McCoy in that offense. Of course, for the Redskins, we'll see the return of RG3. As he recovers from the ACL, LCL injury, how effective he can, you know, will he be more geared towards, will he be more, will the offense be more geared towards him throwing from the pocket? How many times will he, how many runs will he have? I think Alfred Morris is going to have a huge day tomorrow. I think that's going to be an Alfred Morris game tomorrow. Redskins went 4-0 in the preseason, which means nothing, by the way, but just, so we'll see how the Redskins come out. College football last night, yesterday, big win for Georgia. That was a big-time win for Georgia against South Carolina, rebounding off the Clemson loss. What has happened to the South Carolina defense? I mean, Georgia just went up and down. And we know Georgia has a very good offense, but the South Carolina defense, I thought coming into this year, was going to be one of the better defenses in the country, and not play well up until this point. They're not going to beat Alabama playing defense like that, I can tell you right now. Also, even Georgia, I mean, Georgia's defense has been lit up too. And that's, I mean, to me, that's been a recurrent theme early on in this college football season. Nobody outside of Alabama, it seems like nobody plays defense. I mean, I'm watching the Michigan-Notre Dame game, and those teams are going up and down the field. Then Michigan's allowing Notre Dame with an average quarterback. You know, they have some decent skill players. They don't have great skill players at Notre Dame. They're going up and down the field like it's nobody's business. I mean, nobody plays defense. Nobody plays defense in college anymore. A lot of high-scoring games yesterday. Great win for Miami for their program. That was a defensive game. Both those two teams played great defense, particularly Miami, forcing five Florida turnovers. Florida shot themselves in the foot with a number of red zone turnovers by Driscoll. Miami getting a program-building win against Florida. I still don't know how good Miami is. I think they're very good defensively, have a very good running game. I'm still not sure about the quarterback. But regardless, that's a big-time win for that program, and you anticipate that they will be ranked when the poll comes out on Monday or Tuesday. So, again, showdown, we'll talk about it on the Serial Court Review next week a lot. Alabama, Texas A&M. Texas A&M, again, puts up a ton of points, but also gives up almost 30 points to a team that they should just absolutely destroy. It'll be Johnny Football versus the Alabama. Alabama, I think, had a week off, had a bye week. So Alabama's only coming off a bye week, and certainly have been licking their chops for almost a year anticipating this matchup as they try to get revenge for that 29-24 loss in Tuscaloosa last year. So we'll see. That will be certainly be the marquee game in college football next weekend. Certainly we'll talk a lot about that game. Talk a lot about that game on next week's edition of the Serial Court Review. So we're going to run through the scores again. Kansas City 28-2 over Jacksonville. Atlanta, New Orleans 23-17 over Atlanta. Seattle 12-7 over Carolina. Miami 23-10 over Cleveland. Tampa Bay, the Jets 18-17 over Tampa Bay. Tennessee 16-9 over Pittsburgh. Detroit 34-10. Over Minnesota, and Green Bay, and San Francisco 34-28 over Green Bay, and certainly to me was the game of the day. Excellent game with San Francisco and Green Bay, two teams that have Super Bowl aspirations. I was very impressed with Green Bay's front seven containing the San Francisco running game, which is certainly amongst the best in all of football. They love to run the ball, but held them to 90 yards. You had to be obviously blown away by what Colin Kaepernick did from the pocket, made some great throws, had over 412 yards passing, 27-39. He lit Green Bay's secondary up during the course of the game. Anquan Boldin, huge day for him. Vernon Davis had a big day. And this is, they're doing this without Michael Crabtree and Mario Manningham, especially Crabtree. Crabtree was great last year. When they get him back, that offense is really going to be dynamic. Their defense still can get to the passer. You know, though Aaron Rodgers did have over 300 yards passing, but again, it's Aaron Rodgers. Eddie Lacy had a fumble, but he did, 14 carries, 41 yards, had a touchdown. I think has a chance to be a very good back. Chance to be a very good back in this league. So there you go with the week one of the NFL wrap up show. We'll be back next week at the same time with the NFL wrap up show. We'll also be back in a couple of days with the Boardwalk Breaking Bad podcast as well. I will see you soon. Enjoy your Sunday night. So long.